Democrat of the day today. We head to the Senate district that's 7, that's soon to be 8. Jennifer McEwen is kind enough to join us today to talk about her time in the Senate and her re-election with the new redistricted district coming up this November. Senator, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate you having me today. It's a pleasure to join you.
It's a pleasure to join you because I just want to say how much I love your city up in the Duluth area, beautiful Duluth area.
Yes.
And if you look at the AM 950 calendar we put out for 2022, I have a lot of pictures from Duluth in that calendar this year. A lovely picture I took up on Engen Tower. I took a picture on the shoreline looking back towards the lift bridge. And then one of my favorite pictures I've ever taken. I took a yellow rose picture, which is in the calendar, at the Leif Erikson Rose Garden. And and I'm stunned at how beautiful that garden was last summer. Just what a jewel you have there on the shoreline.
Oh, thank you so much. We sure do. All of us Duluthians are so proud of Duluth, and it is such a beautiful city, and we're just so lucky to live here on Lake Superior and up on the hill on the North Shore. It's just, it's really something. Yep.
I had a friend post up on Twitter, and I have to agree with this, that coming in, if you're going up 35 and you're driving into Duluth, there is not much, he could not think of another city that unfolds itself as majestically as you come over the hill and there it all it is. That's one of the things I love about Minnesota is that there is such a uniqueness to each individual area. Duluth itself is such an icon, a strong city, a city with such great history and such great people. And today it's as lovely and as vibrant as it's ever been.
It really is. It really is. And that drive is so iconic. Every time I'm doing it at least once a week right now with session at the Capitol. So I'm driving down to the Capitol, and then I drive back to Duluth for the weekends. And every time I come over that hill, I just get a little burst of joy in my heart to see that city come through over the distance and then see the lake come around the corner, too. It's just we're so lucky to live here and so proud of this city.
Now, I'm not mistaken, you currently are Senate District 7, but you're running for Senate District 8, correct?
That's correct. With redistricting, they changed the number, we saw some changes in boundary, but not compared. You know, I know that in a lot of other areas of the state, especially in the metro, we saw some pretty big shifts that resulted in people having to maybe run against colleagues in order to keep a seat or decide not to run or really shifting where they're going to serve and that sort of thing. But up in Duluth, compared to that, we stayed very, very steady. So by and large, we have mostly the same district, a little bit different. We actually grew a little bit. So we have a couple of precincts in Duluth included now in our Senate district that used to be included in the district with Hermantown, right now. So it's pretty close to the same, but redistricting was good to us up here.
Well, and I think for the DFL, I looked at those redistricting maps, the first thing I said was, okay, I'm pretty sure we got relatively somewhere around 29 safe Senate district seats in Minneapolis-St. Paul. And that's just because, it's the cities.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said to myself, okay. And I start doing the numbers here. If we can pick up, there's two Senate districts now in Rochester that are going to be lean DFL. You got two up there now. That one for sure, yours, I think, is a very DFL district, but I think you got now two Senate seats there. You look at St. Cloud and Eric Putnam, who's over there. I mean, you do the math here. It's as some DFLers are like, I don't like this map. I'm like, I really like this map because this map is showing that the DFL is not just a Twin Cities metro growth. It's growth in all of our cities, Rochester, St. Cloud, Moorhead, Duluth. They're all growing, and with that comes better population, better representation as well.
Absolutely. I feel actually very good about the map as well. And, I mean, there's always some pros and cons that come with it. But we have a very strong path to take the majority of the Senate with this next election. And very strong candidates in some of those key races as well. So I think I have a lot of hope coming up for this election, and I think that if we run a really strong campaign, which I trust that we will, and we really invest in our candidates. And in these districts, we have an excellent shot of taking the Senate.
Senator Jennifer McEwen, currently Senate District 7, soon to be Senate District 8, joining us from the Duluth metro area. Your committee assignments, you're the ranking minority member on labor and industry policy. Let's start there. With Duluth, labor and industry policy is a good place to be. A little bit about last year. I mean, I know you're in the minority in the Senate, but do you feel as if you were able to get some good things pushed through and into and passed through the Congress as well? That were there something you can hang your hat on?
You know, I do. I do. I think it was last year felt, I guess I would describe it as a sort of solid hanging in there budget that kept us in a pretty good place, and overall, of course, that's because of the excellent work done over in the House and the strong work from the administration as well. I would have loved to see some of the stronger pieces of legislation move through the Senate, and they haven't. They didn't last time, and I think we're going to have some trouble to move them this time around as well. But that said, I do think that we've had enough compromise last year, at least as things go, to put together a strong budget like we did, especially in certain areas. We had some really good stuff. But being the lead of the Labor and Industry Committee for the DFL in the Senate is frustrating, absolutely, just because the Republican leadership in the Senate is not, unfortunately, willing to hear some of these pieces of legislation that, we all know that we need. It's just some of these really, really basic, important things that have to do with, sick and safe time and paid family and medical leave, some of these core issues that we really want to see move through the checks for the essential workers. This is a promise that we made to Minnesotans and Minnesota's essential workers last year that the legislature made. We made this promise to get this done, and it's been stymied so far, and I am hopeful that we'll come up with a good resolution here, hopefully sooner than later. But it would, of course, be good to see more movement on those things.
Yesterday, I had Representative Freiberg from Golden Valley on, and he, of course, as well. That's a big thing for him, isn't it? The first-line workers. I mean, obviously, one of the things that's really frustrating with the Senate Republicans is I remember them. I remember them in 2020 when they were screaming for the grocery store workers and the drivers and the delivery drivers and the daycare workers to all get back to work because they needed to go to work. And they did. They did. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, especially pre-vaccine in a very questionable world, they were out there on the front lines. And now when you remind them of that, they act as if, well, they knew what they were getting into, or we put up a sign saying thanks, that's good enough. And no, I mean, if anyone, I mean, the dangers that they put themselves in, they surely do deserve to have some recognition as far as a thank you bonus from the state of Minnesota.
Yeah, they absolutely do. And again, this has been promised already. It's just the point of delivering on a promise. And you said it really well. I mean, they were taking their lives into their hands, especially during some of those darker moments of the pandemic in the beginning when we, as you said before, we had vaccine available, when it was really a lot of unknowns about how this would go and the danger of the spread. And it was dangerous for a lot of people. A lot of people got sick, and we had many, many deaths because of this pandemic. It was a very, very, very serious pandemic. And we had thousands and thousands of Minnesotans who were dedicated enough to their communities and to the understanding of just how vital the service of their labor and their job, what that service meant to their community, that they showed up again and again for their community, even in the midst of those dangers. So it is, you know, we talked about it a lot at the beginning of the pandemic, and I think it bears repeating, is that things weren't so great for a lot of essential frontline workers before the pandemic in terms of wages, in terms of benefits, in terms of working conditions. And then the pandemic hits, and all of a sudden we realize just how vital and how important those that workforce is to the just the basic running of our society, for our food, for our education, for maintenance of our buildings, all of these essential pieces. And they performed like they always do. And many of us over the course of the pandemic sort of re-resolved and strengthened our resolve to say, you know, what was before the pandemic wasn't good enough. And this just sharpens that realization. And this is no more. We have to do so much better for one another in community than we've been doing. And so I'm still committed to that. And I think a lot of people at the legislature, a lot of representatives and senators are committed to that vision to do better. We just gotta move beyond this sort of juggernaut with the Senate Republicans holding things back from moving forward, because we can achieve a society in Minnesota where we have this good baseline safety net of paid family and medical leave, like just something just so basic like that, and move forward in a better way.
Senator, as we look at 2022, of course, I should mention that not only are you the ranking minority member on labor and industry policy, you're also on environment and natural resources, as well as transportation, finance, and policy. Let's look at 2022. What are you looking at right now to deliver as a swan song to seven here? What do you want to deliver this year through this session?
Oh, gosh. Well, I do think that those bonus checks for the frontline workers are crucially important. The compromise on that piece has to get done. So I sure hope that the compromise can be reached on that piece. The other piece is sort of a very switching topics a little bit, but I am also really hopeful that we're able to get some strong environmental work through in regard to clean water. And that's something that I'm really hopeful about. We have some really good legislation moving in the House right now that has to do with getting the lead out of various areas. So things like tackle and hunting gear and ammunition, and then also our pipes that bring the water into our homes. There's so many areas and neighborhoods throughout the state that need to have those lead pipes replaced. And that's going to be a huge job. But one of those key infrastructure projects, we have all of that money coming from the federal infrastructure bill, and we have to sort of meet the moment as a state and step up and do our parts to make sure that we access all of those federal funds and make the most of all of that. So we're working on that, and in terms of water, and then we're also, I'm really hopeful that we're going to be able to pass some clean water legislation in regard to PFAS. We have some great PFAS bills that are also, again, moving through the House, and I do think that they can, they should be able to get some bipartisan support. We have to start doing some work to prevent PFAS. Those are those forever chemicals that will end up in our waterways. We had them unfortunately found in some of the fish in Lake Superior just a couple of years ago. It was a huge red flag, because if we're seeing PFAS in fish in Lake Superior, a huge, huge body of water like that, we got a problem. So we really have to start by making sure that we're not putting more PFAS into the environment. And there's a bunch of bills moving through the legislature on that, too. Our clean water as a state is really the crown jewel of our state.
Yeah.
We should be known as, and we have been through the years, as the state of water, the state of clean water, the state of 10,000 lakes. And we all know it's many, many more than 10,000 lakes. And then, of course, Lake Superior, the greatest lake in the world. We have to do everything that we can right now, especially as we're moving into this period of more rapid global climate change and climate emergency, to protect our water resources. So we also have a bill that I'm hopeful for that will have us do a comprehensive study to analyze the state of our waters going forward into the next 5 decades. So really do a 50-year plan for Minnesota to make sure that we secure our clean water resources for all of the things that we need for our agriculture, for business, for our municipalities, and for the clean drinking water that we need for people to live. So So there's all these pieces happening at once, and I'm really hopeful that that clean water piece is going to move forward this session.
You know, and as you talk about it, I mean, we just had the story about lead pipes and the lead consumption and people my age that they're now realizing the damage that did. The forever chemicals in the water, and they're finding them in the Arctic now, too. We've got to do something about that.
Yeah.
But I wanted to bring up one thing. You had mentioned something I don't think we really talked about ever on this show, and that is we need to get the lead out of the fishing tackle and in the shot, because that is my dad – who hunted his entire life and fished his entire life, he, you know, years ago was like, there is absolutely zero reason to have that lead in there. It's just stubbornness that's keeping us there. And it is indeed having a dramatic effect to the environment, the more that we put out there. I mean, that is something that we really need to march forward on.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see, you know, all of that, everything that we do is connected. You know, sometimes I think we really do get stuck in feeling like we're in a little bubble of our own lives, and we stop realizing the impact that all of our choices have on the world around us and the products that we use, the things that we allow corporations to produce and then to bring into our environment, that makes an impact. And it can be a good impact, or it can also have negative effects. So, but with that lead tackle and lead shot, that's sort of an easy fix. And gosh, I remember people talking about that years and years ago. So it's way past time to get that done. I would love to see that moved in short order.
As I was talking about, Duluth is a gem. My goodness, you're a gem too. We need to make sure we keep you in St. Paul for sure.
Oh, thank you.
My pleasure. And we can, this is easy. I mean, Duluth is a great weekend trip here. We can send people up there.
Come up to Duluth.
Door knock, volunteer up there, and then go get some great food, go to the Leif Erickson Rose Garden, go on the lakefront. It is great fun up there. Jen, if there's a way for people to, what's the website people can go to find out how they can volunteer and donate to your campaign?
Oh, thanks so much for asking. Our website is Vote McEwen. So that's the word vote, and then MCEWEN.com. And people can go to the website to donate there. And we would love to see people up in Duluth this summer, now that the pandemic is receding a bit. Knock on wood, that's going to continue. And we would love to see everyone come back up, come see the lake, come see our beautiful city, and enjoy some time up here. It's just a wonderful place to be. And if you could also speak to your representatives and your senators about wanting to see the Northern Lights Express up to Duluth from the Twin Cities, so that you could hop on the train and come up to Duluth just for a short day if you wanted to, even. So we're also really trying to make a big push for the Northern Lights Express, and we could use people's help with that too.
It would be fantastic, and it would be a benefit for both Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Duluth on that, for sure.
Yeah.
You've got the kids, take them up to the aquarium. It's fantastic, and just everything up there is just so much wonderful. It is just a great place to visit. So go to votemcewen.com. I'll link to everything on social media a little bit later on. Senator Jen McEwen, Senate District 7, soon to be Senate District 8. Thank you very much, Senator. I always appreciate the time when we can chat.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Have a great weekend.
You too. Take care. We'll take a break. Come on back. The Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.